Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hoops Crush Podcast, episode 27. I am Eric Brandt, and I am joined by my man, Brady Parks, a.k.a. Crushables. How you doing today, Brady?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Just ready for the weekend. We just got done watching the Dallas Mavericks win Game 4 in convincing fashion. So now we have to talk about this. Do the Dallas Mavericks have a chance to come back in this series, or is it going to be like the last series in the Western Conference Finals where Minnesota wins Game 4 and then decides to not play anymore in the series and gets blown out in Game 5? What do you think? Gentlemen sweep, or is Dallas going to make this interesting?
For some reason, my gut right now is telling me that Dallas is going to make it interesting. I could be totally wrong, but for whatever reason, I have a feeling that Boston, you know, they've dropped a game at home in every series besides the conference finals. It's time to do it in game five. Yeah. So I don't know, man. And they should have dropped a game at home in the conference finals, by the way, as we all know, but Indiana just with one of the worst choke jobs ever, Reggie Miller-esque, as we all know, but so for whatever reason, my gut right now is telling me that Boston might allow this to go to a game six.
Well, that carries some weight, because if you don't know, haven't been watching the show, Brady had the Mavericks and Celtics in the playoffs, and he also, before the series started, he predicted Boston to eventually be the champion. I was dumb and went with what I thought was the hot team, and that was Dallas, and they've up until this point not played well in the series. If you think it's going to be a series based on your track record so far in these playoffs, I think we got a series on our hands. So what does that mean? Just they win game four and just make Boston sweat, or game five and make Boston sweat a little bit into game six? Or do you think this possibly could get to a game seven, much like Boston came back from 3-0 against Miami and then lose in game seven? Or do you think they could be the first team ever to come back, Brady?
Someone has to do it eventually, as we all say.
That's so cliche right now.
One game at a time. I know they always say that. One game at a time. I'm not ready to sit here and say that if somehow Dallas does force a game six, that they'll win in game six or game seven. Boston may just come out and take care of business in game five, and then, you know, there's no point. It was kind of dumb for me to even say, but
fun in that, though?
Yeah, I know. What is the fun in that? So, just based off how they played tonight, and it felt like Luka, you know, definitely took to heart how he played in game three, the foul trouble, the arguing with the refs, falling on the floor the two times.
Brian
Windhorst,
like,
so if Luka can get played like he did tonight, and obviously we know Luka's always going to score, but I'm talking about, like, staying disciplined and not worrying about the refs as much. I think they have a chance, man. They just need him to stay engaged. I really do feel like that's the key there. And Kyrie has to play good in Boston, by the way, as well. If he, he sucked in Boston twice, and I think that's over now, but I remember Torrey saying that, which I didn't know, that Kyrie was like 0-12 against Boston since he left or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Or one of you guys said it.
I think it was until tonight it was 0-13. So,
yeah.
Now he's 1-13.
So pretty insane. So he needs to play better in Boston. If they get Kyrie, a good Kyrie game, and Luka not worried about the refs and fouling and complaining about fouls, I think they have a chance. I really do. And I think all of us. And I was actually comfortable enough. So when Dallas went down 0-3, what I've been doing in these elimination videos I've been doing, I've been like uploading as teams actually get eliminated. But I was like, you know what? I'll just upload the Dallas one because it's a win-win. Either I did it early or I jinxed them and we get more competitive basketball and more games. So I was like, whatever. So hopefully Dallas gives us another game. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll just say that they're going to lay an egg in game five and this will be over. I'll just go opposite, be boring. it just seems to be how it's trending lately with the when you're down 3-0.
Yeah, it usually does go that way.
But, I mean, it would be fun. Like you said, I think you mentioned you've been getting into hockey or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that series is 3-0 as well. Yeah. So not that that really matters. It just kind of sucks when your championship series of these sports leagues ends in like either a blowout if it's a one-game thing or, you know, a team dominates a series. So, yeah, it's fun that Dallas finally won a game. But if they would have pulled out either game two or game three, and we're talking about a 2-2 series right now, man, this would be exciting with three games left in the NBA season potentially and best 2 out of 3 to determine the champion. But instead, Boston still just needs to win 1 out of 3 games. So I think they should be able to do that pretty easily. Man, I would hate to see what happens. We talked about this all throughout the playoffs. What would happen to Boston if they do not finish this off and win a championship this year, least make the finals? If they basically celebrate a championship, everyone's crowding them up 3-0, and they choke that away. Oh man,
That would go down as the craziest thing in history. Yeah. Holy moly. That would be insane. That'd be wild. It'd almost be as crazy as the 3-1 comeback, but even worse. That Cavs Warriors, man, series was crazy. That was probably the best finals we've had. I've heard a lot of people complaining about the finals that we've had that they haven't been very good. I know we had Boston and Golden State that went to 6, and then Toronto, Golden State went to 6 as well, but yeah, that LeBron coming back from 3-1 was different.
I think Phoenix Milwaukee went 6-2, right?
Oh, yeah, that one too. I forgot about that one.
Phoenix won in the first two games, and then Milwaukee won that the
one
next four.
That one wasn't bad. Which I guess they didn't mention that when they were. I heard a few people complaining about it, saying like, "Oh, the finals have been bad since you know whatever." But go ahead.
You heard Brian Windhorst's comments after game three, right? We haven't had a chance to talk about that. How do you feel? I know you're, I don't know, I don't want to call you a Luka fan, but I know you respect Luka a lot and enjoy his game. As someone who appreciates Luka, what did you think? Did you think those comments were fair? Criticism, or do you think it was kind of a little bit of a cheap shot considering how much Luka has carried that franchise over the last few years?
I can see it in both ways. Like, I know there's a lot of people that hate Luka because of how much he complains to the refs, and that's understandable that you feel that way, and that's, you know, how people have felt about LeBron too. That part has never really bothered me, but yeah, game three, it was absolutely ridiculous. Like I said, it was terrible. There were so many possessions where it felt like all he was worrying about was drawing a foul, and it wasn't happening. Like the two where he flopped on the three pointers he shot just were atrocious, man. So in a way, I understand what Windhorst was going with, but at the same magnitude, like most people were saying, I don't even have to say this because a lot of people are already saying it. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So like, yes, I know he's been a turnstile on defense and stuff, but and a lot of people are saying like, of course he's injured and all that, but yeah, he definitely has to be better as much as possible. But yeah, it's fair.
He was tonight too.
Yeah, definitely. It's fair. It's fair to say that, but maybe a little overboard, I guess. But it just depends on how you see it.
I just thought, him being hurt and he's got. Apparently he had a shot before games 1, 2, and 3. So obviously it's some sort of chest thing to
Tortle. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it might've been, but he's trying to gut it out. If this is the regular season, I doubt he's even playing with this injury. So, it's hard for me to like take a 3-game sample size or even a 1-game sample size. It was really just one game that he was horrible and like override that his whole career and say that he's not ever going to win a championship if he plays like this, and which is true of that one game, but he's not usually like that. I mean, he's not great defensively, but he at least has been trying and giving effort on that end, has had some good moments in these playoffs so far. So I just thought it was a little bit too in the moment just because everything was going wrong for Dallas in this series and everything was going right for Boston. And I don't necessarily think, I mean, game three, sure, but the other two games, I don't think you can really blame Luka for guys like Kyrie not showing up and stuff like that. So, and their bench not doing anything. So I don't think it entirely fell on Luka, but Windhorst made it seem like it was all on him. And I have trouble pinning that on someone who, like you mentioned, is the sole reason that you're here at this point.
Yeah, I agreed. I think it was just a little overboard and kind of uncalled for, but that's the media for you.
Yeah. I was like, they treat him like he's James Harden or something. You know what I
mean? Yeah, and there's that clip of that guy going in on James Harden too. So kind of reminds me.
That's what
me
it
of,
felt like. Yeah.
Yeah, it can remind me of that a little bit, just a little bit.
All right, so switching our focus to the NBA draft. Man, there's all kinds of rumors about seemingly. It seems like every team is trying to move up in this draft right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, you know, we've heard ever since the last draft with Wimby and stuff like that, that this upcoming 2024 draft was really weak and one of the worst drafts in recent memory. But there seems to be an awful lot of teams wanting to move up. Now, whether that's because maybe this particular season if it is a weak draft or ends up being a weak draft, maybe it's easier to move up than it would be in other drafts. So maybe that's part of it. But it just seems like there's a lot of teams that are locked in on certain players that they want to go up and get. And yes, I think that's going to be the theme leading up to the draft over the next week and a half. Seeing what team actually pulls off the move to get up to get the guy they want, and or does like no team do it and it just stays the same and relatively chalk. I don't think many teams traded first round picks last year. There was a lot of trades in the second round, of course, but
yeah, like
yeah, I'm or I guess last year there were a few.
Yeah, you had maybe the Lively trade and then the Kings trade.
The Kings trade at 24.
Yeah.
But it was that there wasn't a ton of like big name players traded, I guess, during the draft.
I don't feel like we've seen that since the Jimmy Butler trade like years ago. But I guess he had like D'Anthony Melton traded on draft night one time, and maybe I'm missing another player. But yeah, I still remember when Jimmy was traded on draft night. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. So let's start at the top. The Atlanta Hawks, we know their situation. They're kind of stuck. They make the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago. Or now it's been, 3 years now? 3 years, right?
Yeah, 2021.
And so they make the big trade for DeJounte Murray. It hasn't really worked out since. They've never replicated that success. So they have their backcourt. I think we both agree they need to split up at least one of them. So now it seemed like for a long time, Alex Saar was going to go number one in this draft, pretty much no matter who got the pick. But now it almost feels like he's not going to go number one. There's all kinds of stuff about Donovan Clingan possibly being the guy Atlanta wants. And there's also buzz that they, if they stay at one, they could take Richiche over Saar as well. So just in general, what do you think the Hawks should do overall with their pick? And do you think it should be based on what they do with their guard situation first and foremost? or how would you handle that if you were in charge of the Hawks?
Ah, man. Yeah, they got a lot of different ways they could take this. They can go full rebuild. They can try to run it back with Murray and Trae Young. They could trade one or the other, as we know. No, I don't know what. I don't know, man. Donovan Klingon does not feel like a number one type of pick. I mean, this is this kind of draft, I guess. So if I'm them, I would just take Alex Saar and call it a day. But apparently, it may not be that easy for them. And I just feel like the best way to do this is keep Trae, you know, whether it's Trae Young or DeJounte, you could choose one or the other. That's fine. Get a big like Alex Saar that might turn into something one day for you. Because if you're Atlanta and you just take the safe pick, Donovan Klingon, I don't really know if that ever gets you anywhere. And I know, I think mostly it's becoming that because of the Quinn Snyder thing, you know, him having Rudy Gobert. Maybe he wants his Rudy Gobert per se. But yeah, I think if I'm them, you have Okongwu still, who's on, you know, you extended. And then assuming, you know, it sounds like they're going to take a big, whether it's Klingon or, you know, Alex Saar, or maybe it's Richichet, which, you know, would be like similar to, like, it'd be like they could almost take one of those guys. And then you also have the ability to trade maybe DeAndre Hunter or trade Clint Capella. Like, they have some guys that can move to get more assets. I just think the way I would handle it is I'm taking Alex Saar, and then I'm trading one of Trae or DeJounte. I think I'd trade DeJounte, but it's close. I could see either way. And then depending on who you take, if you do take Richichet, but you know, in my scenario, I'm saying we're taking Saar, you trade Capella for whatever you can get for him. Not sure what Capella's trade value is. Maybe like a late first in this draft, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that's what I'm doing, man. I'm gonna try to run it back with one of my guards and add Alex Saar to the equation and see where that gets me. That's what I would do if I'm Atlanta.
I think Saar with Trae Young gives them the best chance, and then whatever assets they get from DeJounte, if you want to move those other guys too, like you mentioned, that's fine. But a Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, Alex Saar trio, I think gives you the best chance moving forward to turn that corner back to where you were. It's still going to be tough unless Alex Saar is the player that I think he's going to be, but he's got to be, you know, really good defensively. And if he is, you can kind of make up for Trae Young's lack of defense and do some things. If you make a couple other smart moves to round out your starting lineup with some talent, maybe you get a deal done there, or maybe you can get back to where you want to be. But it feels like they're not going to do that. I feel like they're, if they trade Trae Young, I don't understand drafting Klingon. It does not make sense to me. And if they do that, I just think they deserve to have whatever happens to them, because this is a situation where if they do that, I don't see a path for them being good for a long time. And there is so many teams that just are way better than them, like even in the East. And you're talking about like Detroit, who else was down near the bottom of the East? Washington maybe is the only team you could make a case that doesn't have the talent yet to possibly be better than them. So maybe you're fighting for like 14, 15, maybe 13 at best, I think, if you trade Trae Young and draft Donovan Klingon without really addressing anything else. Because this is not a knock on Klingon, but if you're going to draft him, I think you should be trying to win. Like, it should be a winning team, a team that thinks they're closer to winning than they are. So it wouldn't make sense in my mind to go that route and then to move on from both of the guards, or Trae Young in particular. So, who's going to be your lead guard? I mean, Klingon himself isn't a guy who can carry a team, you need that lead guard still to run the show. So if they draft him and trade both guards, or Trey in particular, I just think that's really dumb. But now it's coming out that the Spurs potentially really want Zachary Richichet. And I don't know if that's a smokescreen or not.
I doubt it.
But there
it. I think
apparently has been some talk that San Antonio is worried that obviously at four they're not going to get him. Because all reports are that he's going to go at top three at worst. So they need to probably get up to one just to avoid any sort of shenanigans. And then I think from Atlanta's perspective, if they feel comfortable that Washington or Houston aren't going to take Klingon, which is also kind of scary because you know, a team could trade up to three and take him in front of you at four. So maybe they're trying to bring in those other teams and try to work it out so every team gets who they want. Maybe they can arrange it that way. But if you're San Antonio and you think Richichet is the guy that would be a good pairing next to Wemby, and Richichet is a pretty good defender and he obviously can shoot the three, I do think that's a pretty good fit for him, despite how I feel about Richichet overall. So I understand the move from the Spurs perspective too. But if you really want Klingon and you can trade down a few spots and still get him, I think that's what you do. If you stay at one and take him, I don't really like that much.
Yeah, that does make sense where, you know, yeah, Richichet, I actually love Richichet to San Antonio. And then whether that means they traded up, and I don't know if that would mean they got rid of eight to do so. Maybe that's what they have to do. And then maybe take a swing at the point guard position, whether that's Topich falling that far because of, you know, what's come out of him, or if Dillingham is still on the board, or Collier, whatever point guard they want, or maybe they trade for Garland, who knows, like, you know, a lot of different possibilities. But yeah, I think Richichet would be great for San Antonio. And then Atlanta, yeah, if they want Klingon, I think trading down would be a lot better than just taking him at number one overall. At least you're going to get an asset. And it's almost like, it'd almost be like similar to when, you know, they traded down with it, Dallas, where, you know, Dallas came up and got Luka. Obviously, way different draft, of course, but
yeah, you're not giving up a generational player, I guess.
You're not giving up.
I mean, you could, I guess. We don't know yet.
You know, you never know. So, yeah, I don't know. That would make sense. But if I'm Washington, I'd be super ecstatic if Klingon goes one, and then you have your options from Richichet or Sar. And I mean, a lot of people have said the floor for Sar is two anyway, so I think Washington would feel pretty good about walking away with Alex Sar if that were to occur.
Yeah, but it would be crazy if Sar slips to like three.
Oh, man.
And then Houston sitting there like open to trading it. That's, I've said this before on the show, that's the one player I think you have to consider trading up for if you have a chance to. I mean, I'm not giving up what it would cost to get up to number one in this scenario, but you know, if he falls to three and you have a chance to give up like a Jeremy Grant or a Malcolm Brogdon and seven to get up to three, I'm strongly considering that. I think that highly of Sar as a player.
What if Atlanta take Sar number one, and then we get Klingon at seven, and then there's a later trade or something like that? That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this would take very skilled GM work.
Yeah, which we don't.
If you're like in talks with teams, like 2 through 7, 2 through 8. And you know of a team that really wants Alex Sar, and you're sitting there saying, well, let's say like Detroit at five, like if Klingon's still on the board, and you really wanted Alex Saar, we'll work out a deal in that scenario. But we're also fine keeping Saar if that's the case. So, like, what would you give us? You know, you have that rough framework worked out ahead of time so that when you're on the clock, you could figure that out rather quickly, whether you want to accept that offer. That would be really interesting.
The problem is, I don't know what we'd give to Atlanta. I'm not sure we have anything they want. And we don't obviously have our future draft picks freed up. So, yeah, I'm not
sure.
Well,
we do have 14.
14, so, yeah, I guess, maybe.
I mean, if they're taking Klingon and they still keep one of their guards, let's just say Trae Young in this case, like Dermot Grant kind of makes sense for them. So are you talking like 7 and Jeremy Grant for 1?
But then we'd have to take back salary from them, right?
Yeah, we would. So like maybe
you got like Bogdan's 18 million, you got Hunter's 20 something million. So yeah, it'd be tough, but you could maybe get there. I don't know if they have any other. And then obviously Okongwu is making money, but that's not happening. And then you have Capella's expiring. Maybe Capella's thrown in. That would get really complicated. Yeah, probably not going to happen. Maybe you could trade for Capella and flip him later on. I don't know.
I mean, because he makes, a little over 20 million?
Yeah, he makes a little over 20 million.
So you could, you could probably get there with his salary. Or maybe you could, if you rope it into the DeJounte trade, maybe you get something from another team. So, because then DeJounte could be the guy going out for, because his extension, once the new league year starts, is it what, 30 million?
Yeah, it's like something like that. It might be a little under.
So
30.
That would match, come pretty close to Jeremy's contract next year. It's almost the same. So, yeah, that's, man, I wonder, so what team would DeJounte go to? You're like the Lakers.
LA. Lakers, you got, maybe the Spurs want him back? Probably not. yeah, I don't know. Other than the Lakers, I don't really know where DeJounte Murray would be sent to. Although there's probably a team we're not thinking about, of course, that might want him. Like, Pelicans also is another interesting option, but they have CJ, so then they got to send out salary too. So, like, it becomes although Brandon Ingram might be moved, it's complicated for sure. But that would be wild.
Maybe work something out.
If Alex Saar got taken and Atlanta was not sold on keeping him, and we somehow had Klingon fall to us at 7, we take him, and then a trade happened. That'd be a dream scenario, though.
Yeah. There's way too many teams that seem, including the Blazers, unfortunately, that seem like their top option in this draft is Donovan Klingon, and teams trying to move up to get him. So I'd be surprised if he fell to 7. But yeah, man, that'd be crazy if this whole thing has just been a smokescreen to potentially max his value if we have a chance to pick him up in the draft. But speaking of the Blazers, Kevin O'Connor had a report that the Blazers are looking at not necessarily moving up from 7, but moving up from 14 into the top 10 to have potentially 2 top 10 picks in this draft. What did you think when you heard that rumor? Do you believe it? Who do you think they could be targeting if that's the case?
Maybe 7 and 14 and Anthony for 3 or whatever he said. Gosh, so dumb. But as far as trading into the top 10, I don't really believe it, to be honest with you. I don't really trust Kevin O'Connor as a insider anyway. Like, I don't really know if he's the guy that's ever going to break some news. Maybe he has before and I don't know, but I don't. Not somebody I would personally trust it with this kind of information. I don't know. Is there, how would we do that? Like, if we moved into the top 10, unless if you're maybe you're trading your second round picks to do so, trading 14 and 34 to get into the top 10, but I feel like it may cost them more than that. So maybe there's a team that wants one of our veterans on the roster to move up.
One thing we talked about on Blazers Up Prize was 9 with the Grizzlies. They okay. have a trade exception that they could take on Robert Williams' contract. Now, that would put them in the apron, I think, so they'd have to send out a small contract like Derrick Rose or Zaire Williams or something back to us just to make the trade legal. And then, so that, it'd basically be like 14 and Robert Williams. Maybe you have to throw in a second, like you mentioned, for 9 and whatever small salary they send back. Kind of, as much as that's selling low on Robert Williams, you know, his value is probably as low as it can get right now based on his injury history. I do kind of like that trade because I feel like it kind of saves us in terms of the tax. I'd have to do the math. It'd be the difference between the 14th and 9th pick versus saving salary between Robert Williams and whatever contract we came back, it'd be very close to getting under the tax. But let's just say it got us just under the tax. Maybe we still have to waive someone like Banton or someone to do so, but that's probably going to have to be the case anyway. So if it saves us from being in the tax, and we get to move up to get a player that we wouldn't get at 14, and you can't count on Robert Williams, even if you like him as a player, I think that's probably the best case scenario for the Blazers right now. Because there's a group of players, I don't know if Bozelis is included in this, but like Holland, Cody Williams, even though there's rumors that he could go top 5 now, Topic maybe if he falls. There's like a group of players that would all be there at 9 possibly, but I think they all go in those picks right leading up to 14. So if you want one of those guys, or there's one of those guys, you Salon is probably in that mix as well. If there's one of those guys you've identified and you really want to get, I think you probably have to move up. And if OKC is in the running for like a Tristan Da Silva and you really want him, I mean, this sounds crazy. But if you have to move ahead of them to get him, if you really like him, I'm not suggesting that's what I would do. But there must be a guy that they think they want in that range, like 9 to 11, that they can't get at 14, and they want him in addition to whoever they pick at 7. Or it's a case where 7 and 14 isn't enough to move up for Klingon, but maybe 7 and 9 is. I don't know. That's the only other thing I can think of. But I don't know. Even though it came from Kevin O'Connor, he's been one of the guys who's had the most like rumors and intel in this draft process the last couple weeks. So I don't know how believable it is, but he's one of the few guys giving us some legit like info, right? Or not necessarily legit, but like he's one of the guys actually giving out info at the moment.
Yeah, this draft will be very, very fascinating because it'll be It just feels like this is going to be super role player oriented, and role players, as Tori was saying, are super important now, and that's absolutely true. And it's one of the more important things to have in this new NBA right now. So I'm excited. Also, like y'all were saying, this will be a stress-free draft. There'll be no cloud about the Damian Lillard thing. Are we trading, keeping Scoop?
I don't know about stress-free, but we don't have that living over.
Yeah, that was different stress, to be honest. Yeah, that was a way different stress because, you know, Damian Lillard is the one that got me to watch the Blazers and why I started liking them in the first place. That was a huge part of it. And ever since I started watching, he's been on the team. So it was just very, very stressful. So I'm just glad that won't be here. Of course, the draft will always be stressful. Your favorite team, hoping they make the right pick, but that was a different type of thing.
Absolutely. Or having to like trade the picks to please him and all that kind of stuff. At least that kind of pressure is off of Cronin. So hopefully he can do what he thinks is best for the franchise now instead of, you know, wavering back and forth between that kind of stuff. So there are some rumors of some other teams. It came out today. The Lakers are trying to move up in the draft potentially. They're at 17.
Trading up for Bronny. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, man. Like I don't know, man. I
just feel like every team is trying to move up. Like obviously something ain't true. Like I don't feel like that's every team is trying to move up.
See, there are a few guys that I think would be really good for the Lakers. And actually there's more than a few guys, but one of them, like an Isaiah Collier, might be there at 17, but I find it hard to believe they're just going to draft someone like they did last year. I like Jalen Hood-Sofino, but like he didn't even get a chance to really do anything last year.
Yeah.
Obviously Ham didn't trust him for any minutes. I don't know if that was because he wasn't good enough or because he just didn't believe in giving rookies playing time or what the case was. But they kind of wasted that asset last year. And so I'd be surprised if they potentially did that again this year and not try to make one big last push, whether that's for DeJounte or Trae Young or someone like that, just to get LeBron and Anthony Davis one last legit chance to get it. And if you're not going to do that, if you're just going to pick someone, I find it hard to believe they're not going to placate LeBron and get Bronny. So yeah. I don't know if they necessarily need to trade up for that. I'd be pretty sad if they think they do. But you know, like potentially they should be able to move back, you would think, to get him. But yeah, so unless so another team that's been rumored to want to move up is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah,
they're sitting there at 20. One. Are they trying to jump the Lakers to get Bronny to have LeBron come back to Cleveland? I mean, that would be such a cool story or whatever to finish LeBron's career for a third time in Cleveland with his son. But I don't see them moving up. So they have to be trying to get up. It's been rumored they're trying to get up in like the 10-11 range to get what I assume would be a small forward. But now there's some rumors that Zach Edey and stuff. I don't know what's going on with the Cavs. And then there's also rumors that the Bulls are trying to move up. They don't have a ton of assets, not a lot of draft capital. So I don't know like what they're trying to do either, and who knows what direction they're going as a franchise. So I don't know what's going on with those guys, or those teams, but it seems like there's so many of them trying to move up right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if this has ever happened, and it probably has. And the Lakers are talking about how they are not worried about going into draft night with a coach, which be kind of weird. Like that hasn't happened in a while. If it has happened in the past, I don't know. Like I haven't been an NBA fan for like, you know, as long as you have. So maybe it has happened, but I've never seen that before. Where you don't have a coach and you're gonna be drafting. And obviously, you know, we talked about the Dan Hurley thing. He ended up rejecting the offer and going back to UConn or whatever. Or maybe, yeah, he's going back to UConn, right? But
yeah,
regardless, they don't have their coach yet. It was said that James Borrego is the leading candidate. Now it's JJ Redick. So it like, keeps changing. I don't know, man. The Lakers offseason, if I'm a Lakers fan, I would be super stressed out right now because like I wouldn't want to draft Bronny at 17. And, you know, my friends in real life, a couple of them, you know, I have, well, the one I'm talking about mostly is he's a Lakers fan. any Hazel Braun. So like, you know,
you have real life friends.
I do. Surprisingly. but yeah. Well, he hates LeBron.
I'm glad you don't have fake life friends.
No.
Or am I like your fake life friend you're talking about?
No, sorry. My in-person friends, not virtually. I don't know how else to say it. But so yeah, if I was a Lakers fan, I'd be stressed right now because I do understand how they could, you know, some of them don't like LeBron because of how much it feels like you have to revolve things around him and make things happen for him, even if it's not the best decision. You saw that with the Russell Westbrook thing, like that ruined things for them. And does drafting Bronny at 17 happen because of this LeBron thing? So it'll be interesting because they obviously could take an impactful player probably at 17. That's only three spots out of the lottery, so maybe you can get someone there. We'll see what they do, man. And then as far as Chicago and Cleveland moving up, I could see both of those teams trying to move up. I don't know what Cleveland would give up to move up though. And then Chicago, like you mentioned, they don't have a ton of things. Zach LaVine is probably going to be traded this offseason, you would think. They need to pick a direction. Bulls fans, I feel your pain as well. So yeah, it'll just be interesting, man. It's very interesting to see how this draft's going to shake out.
Had we hired Chauncey yet before that draft? I think we had fired Stotts, but I don't know if we had hired a coach yet.
What? This was the Jabari. Was that the Shaedon Sharpe draft?
It was 2021, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Was that for the Denver series?
Who did?
Because that was Chauncey's third year, right? He just finished his third year.
Something like that. No, yeah, because that was not Shaedon Sharpe. That was the year before. Because he obviously had CJ McCollum.
We had traded our pick.
Yeah, so we didn't have a pick. Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember, to be honest with you. Maybe it is more common than I think. Not sure.
See, the only thing I can think of is they don't really care who the coach is because in terms of their draft, because they're going to draft who they want to draft regardless of the coaches. You'd think he'd want to kind of have his input and, you know, pick someone that he likes. But, I mean, if they've already made up their mind, they're going to get Bronny or trade the pick or whatever, I don't think it really matters who the coach is, especially if it's JJ Redick, because you would think he's being brought in to be kind of a yes man and not really going to have a huge say in a lot of personnel decisions or anything right off the bat.
Yeah, and he's only gonna be brought in more than likely because of LeBron. So yeah, if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm not happy with how things are going right now.
Whereas like Dan Hurley, I think if you bring him in, like, you probably had to give him control of the team, and that's probably why they didn't give him a legit huge offer, because I think at the end of the day they just wanted to still have that control over personnel. And I'm sure he was not too happy about their particular plan if it was to draft Bronny and play him and stuff like that. So I think maybe that's leads me to believe that JJ Redick could be the guy and they're just don't care if it's before or after the draft.
And Shams, I think this was on the Pat McAfee show, like acted like the Dan Hurley thing was all like fake, basically. Yeah. I forgot how he said it, but he like put quotes around it like, oh, whatever, like that was just all phony baloney or whatever. So it's.
And he also took a victory lap. Do we owe Shams an apology?
I don't know, do we?
I'm asking you.
I'm not sure.
Because we kind of killed him last week, but. I mean, he didn't have anything about Hurley. It came out of left field.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Redick hasn't even interviewed in person until this weekend.
Why would Shams deserve an apology then?
Yeah, I don't know. I just he seems to think he has won this battle with Woj, and he was taking his victory lap. And
yeah,
on ESPN, that's the funniest part. Like,
yeah,
because Pat McAfee's show is on ESPN, at least part of it. And so you could see him taking his
jab.
Saying his thing that you just said he said with the ESPN logo, like, right on his body. Like, so, yeah, he definitely was playing that up a little bit.
I doubt that was fake, though, because Woj, like, talked about it so damn much. Like, that definitely had to be some real stuff behind that. And Shams had no wording on that at all. Like, he was not plugged in that situation at all, it felt like. And once again, it makes me think that the Lakers are not trying to do everything around LeBron, and Shams is the one that's closer to them. So the Lakers weren't letting him know. So, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't fully trust anything anyone says this time of year.
That's true.
It's such BS. But Dan Hurley went on a podcast and said that it was a lot closer than you think. And that because most people just thought, oh, he totally used that as a way to get more money from UConn. But he said that they had already agreed to the contract extension he got before he even made his decision whether to, or brought up with them that the Lakers potential job. So he tried to play it as, no, this was something that I almost accepted, but the contract itself didn't have anything to do with it. I wasn't trying to get more money from UConn because I already agreed to that same contract that we agreed to. So who knows, man?
Yeah, don't know, man. Rumor season, as we all know around this year, is always very crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I have a question for you. I know you've in the past I've talked about how you don't really get into looking at prospects or scouting and things like that. But I'm just curious, do you have some guys? I mean, this could be the top of the draft. It could be some sleepers, whoever. Who are Brady Parks guys in this draft? Like, do you have like a few guys like you really like and are, do you think they're going to be good in the NBA, or like you're just going to ride with them no matter what team they go to? Or are you just like completely just like, I'll just judge stuff as it happens, and I don't really have an opinion on a lot of players?
Yeah, I hate to disappoint you, but that's the second option is really how it is. And it's
not even one guy down there that you're like, man, I watched this one game in the tournament, and this guy, like,
yeah, I did watch more college basketball, but like, I didn't really watch it and think like, oh, this guy would be good in the NBA or something. I don't know. I just didn't really see it like that, I guess. So maybe I just don't watch
Edie, come on.
No. Okay. Well, Edie, his game is like, I don't know. When I was telling you, the reason why I was enjoying college basketball is because it just felt like you saw these guys that wouldn't be so good in the NBA. So it was kind of cool to see them dominate, like, you know, DJ Byrne, Zach Edey, and all this other stuff. And then, go ahead.
Oh, well, DJ Burns lost a bunch of weight. Maybe he can be your guy.
Maybe. I saw that Jack Golke worked out for the Thunder, apparently. So that was
I think he worked out for the Pacers, too, yeah.
So, that's my guy, I guess.
Okay, though. Jack Golke. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, okay. I will say, though, I assumed that the Blazers were going to make the workouts more public. So I actually took the time. The one public workout that we had was Dalton Connect, right? I actually took the time and watched a full video on him, and I sat down and did that. So I was going to do that as we had like these private workouts, but everything is more private than we thought. So I was like, whatever, I just won't even like worry about it then. So, because, you know, last year we had Cam Whitmore come in, the Thompson twins come in, Scoot come in, Brandon Miller come in, and there was all kinds of coverage on it. So it was cool to, like, you know, have that. But this year it's been way different, which, not sure why it's that way. Maybe that's just how they want to do things now.
Does seem like it's been that way with a lot of teams. Like, I haven't seen a lot of draft interviews. Like, at least some of our public workouts, there's been a couple of the guys that get interviewed at the end of the workout or whatever. But, it just seems like hardly anyone's worked out publicly for many teams in terms of the top guys in this draft.
I will say I was impressed with Dalton Connect when I was watching, you know.
All right.
Although I didn't get to watch a ton of Tennessee games in the tournament for some reason. Uh-huh. I just didn't watch a Tennessee game, which kind of sucked. I feel like the one that was on, I was at the bar, and, you know, watching a game at the bar is never easy. And I can't, that might be a different game I'm thinking of either. And also the one I might be thinking of the wrong game, but when I was there, I asked on they had the women's college basketball on. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was like asking to change it to the actual, like, not actual, sorry, that's the wrong wording, but change it to
wow.
Change it to men's college basketball. And someone You're was apparently canceled. Yeah, I'm canceled. So apparently someone was watching it though, and the people at the table actually wanted to watch the college girls game. So yeah, I got to watch it on a small TV. But yeah, there's no
I can't
one.
Believe you just went there.
I know. Gosh. I can't believe I went there, man. Go ahead, cook me in the comments. That's fine. But other than that, not really. I just am gonna go with the flow and whoever we pick, and obviously whoever we get, that's when I'll start to learn about them, and that's usually how I've done things.
So your guy is whoever the Blazers pick.
Yeah, I'll live with whoever they take, and I'll learn if it was bad or good. Just like I've done every time. Although I will say last year I definitely watched more highlights because we kind of knew who we were going to maybe get. Amen. Right. Whether it was Amen, Scoot, or Brandon Miller, like I definitely was watching things on them. But obviously with pick seven, you truly don't know. And the year before that, when we had pick seven or whatever year that was, I don't remember watching any Shaedon Sharpe tape. Not that there was a ton of it anyway. I remember watching more of like Benedict Mathurin stuff.
Yeah, the only really tape on Sharpe was high school. So.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, who to sit here and watch right now because I have no idea who we're about to take. I've seen Klingon as well, like, so it's not like, and I don't need to watch more Klingon tape. It's not necessary.
Well,
if
you watched UConn in the tourney, you got to see,
yeah,
Castle as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember watching or not.
I don't remember much about it, to be honest with you. But yeah, I definitely watched. I only think that the only UConn game I watched, I'm pretty sure, was the Final Four and then the championship game. I think that's the only two UConn games I watched.
Yeah, so I'm the exact opposite. I have way too many guys in this draft that I really like. At the top, I love Alex Saar. I think he's the one guy who I think could be like a difference maker for a team. And then I really think Rob Dillingham's going to be, the next good point guard. And I think he's going to be really good. I like a lot of the international guys, Dejan Salon. I like Nikola Jurusic, kind of a like 6'7"-ish wing that's like really skilled passer, just really gritty, crafty. Feels like he's like a 30-year-old already. I think he's really good. And then, of course, I like Ulrich Chomsky. He's a big center from the African Academy. Has hardly any experience at all, but has shown some advanced passing and like some skills that I think if you get in the right development system, I think he's shown enough to me to be potentially someone who, once he figures out how to play, he's only been playing since he was 13 years old, and he's the youngest player in this draft. I think he could start to figure things out and just really pop once the game, he understands the game better. And then I really like Jonathan Mogbo. He's kind of a center, but I think he's more... I think he can play wing. He just doesn't shoot threes at all. I don't know if he can or can't because he just does not shoot them. I think he shot one three-pointer all last year. But is a guy who is like super quick up and down the court, but also has like a super long wingspan. Is only 6'6", but has like a center type wingspan and size other than his physical height. But he's also, I think, quick enough to guard one through five, basically. So he can guard guards and wings and handle the ball. Maybe you can run pick and roll with him. He's shown some elite level passing as well. So just a guy who can pass, dribble the ball, make plays, create a little bit, and also is potentially a really solid to elite defender. Those kind of guys really intrigue me. Now, if he figures out his shot or whatever, then it's even better. But we're not talking about like a top 10 pick either. So those guys are all going to have flaws. I think you just try to bank on the upside. So those are my guys that I really like. I, of course, like a lot of other players too, but those are my main guys.
I wish I had some Crocs guys for you, unfortunately. Yeah. Just not plugged in like that for college basketball and scouting and all that. It's never been my thing, man.
I think to make up for your earlier comment, you now have to give us some women in the WNBA that are now who you're going to follow this summer, and you're gonna give us some updates on future episodes.
Caitlin Clark, Asia Wilson, Jewel Lloyd. I'm learning a little bit. I know a little bit of WNBA players. There's Cameron Brink that everyone's obsessed with as well. I forget the other Los Angeles Spark player, Hembry or something like that. I don't know. I know a few though. So my apologies for the early.
No, that's all. I'm just giving you crap. Sorry. Yeah, so game five is what, Sunday?
I'm not sure. Is it Monday or Sunday? Might be Sunday. You might be right.
Yeah.
It is Monday.
Yeah, Monday. So they're gonna skip the weekend. I guess no Father's game. Day.
Yep. Yeah. No father. Or
they can have the lottery on Mother's Day, but they no final.
That's when they should have basketball, because
right for fathers.
Most fathers are gonna watch basketball, if anything. So they screwed that up bad.
Yeah. Well, this Sunday happens to be my wife's birthday, in addition to Father's Day. So I'm kind of
Happy birthday to her. So that's good. At least
I've told her, like, don't worry about me. It's all about you that day. I don't really care. Like, you don't have to do anything big for me. But I wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day as well, Brady.
You as well.
Have a good Sunday. Thank you. And then to all of you watching who are dads, happy Father's Day to you as well.
Speaking of Father's Day, my wife just got this for me as well. That's why I'm wearing it. Best dad in the game.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So, had to.
Where did she pick that up from? That is a nice shirt.
She got it off Amazon, I think. So
nice.
If you know, you want that shirt, maybe show it to someone. I don't know. I think it came from Amazon. So,
yeah,
a pretty cool shirt.
Yeah, good looking out for your wife there.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you a question earlier. You said you were at a bar. Real quick, what does Brady drink at a bar? Do you drink?
I don't drink.
You don't drink. You just go to a bar and don't drink.
My friends drink, so I just hang out. Or some of my friends do, but no, I'm not a drinker. You're
a designated driver.
I would be in that scenario. So no, I'm not much of a drinker, man.
Not much of a drinker. So you do?
No,
occasionally.
No, I don't really at all, to be honest. I did in high school a couple times, but other than that, not really.
I see.
Yeah, more of I'm a clean duck.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Nice. Well, okay, fair enough. assuming by next week the finals will be over, or we're talking about a game seven potentially. And then next week's show will be the last one before
the draft.
So hopefully we have maybe some trades to talk about, maybe some more juicy rumors, and maybe it's a little bit more locked in as workouts wrap up as to where some of these players are going to end up, because it's all over the map right now. I have no idea what's going to happen on draft day. And that's what's making it so exciting in this whole offseason. Very intriguing. We'll be here to talk about it. So thank you all for tuning in. Like, subscribe, all that kind of fun stuff. We'll see you next week on the Hoops Crush podcast. Brady, hit the outro.
Peace out. Happy Father's Day. Go Blazers.